Thank you, Howard. I hope that's not contagious. I'm going to need this for a while. Thank you very much for leading hymns today and all the great job you're doing. The title of this message is inspired by a hymn that I thought about having Laura sing it, but her voice is not up to it lately, and we've got copyright issues and so forth. Amazing Grace is such a fabulous concept to think about. And let me just share with you from the free encyclopedia, Wikipedia. Amazing Grace is a Christian hymn written in 1772, published in 1779 by an Anglican clergyman, poet, John Newton. Written and published by John Newton. Newton wrote the words from personal experience. He grew up without any particular religious conviction, but his life's path was formed by a variety of twists and coincidences that were often put into motion by others' reactions to what they took as insubordination. He was pressed into service with the Royal Navy, and after leaving the service, he became involved with the Atlantic slave trade. In 1748, a violent storm battered his vessel off the coast country of Ireland so severely that he called out to God for mercy. While this moment marked his spiritual conversion, he continued slave trading until 1754-55, when he ended his seafaring altogether. Newton began studying Christian theology and later became an abolitionist. Newton was ordained in the Church of England and began to write hymns, and with another poet, William Cowper, Amazing Grace was written to illustrate a sermon on New Year's Day in 1773. In the U.S., Amazing Grace became a popular song sung by churches all around evangelizing in the American South during the second Great Awakening of the 19th century. It was an anti-slavery concept with the message that forgiveness and redemption are possible regardless of the sins committed, and that you can be delivered from despair through the mercy of God. Amazing Grace is one of the most recognizable songs in the English-speaking world. Without a doubt, the most famous of all folk hymns. It has had an influence on folk music and become an emblematic black spiritual. Its universal message has been a major factor in crossover into secular music. Amazing Grace became newly popular during the 60s American folk music revival, and has been recorded thousands of times during the 20th century. As the lyrics to the song goes, for copyright issues, I won't read the whole thing, but you recall Amazing Grace by John Newton says, "How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the first hour that I believed." to move forward. The Lord God promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. If that isn't the truth, His word secures our hope. That's why we read it every day and celebrate it every 7 days together. As long as life endures, when this flesh and heart fail and mortal life ceases, I will possess a life of joy and peace. God has revealed that to us in the fact that we have the hope of His kingdom, right? The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. We've been here 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. The Webster's definition in a biblical context of the word grace, it's defined as the unmerited favor and love of God toward humanity. It reflects God's benevolent mercy, showing love to the unlovely and providing peace to the restless. Grace is understood as a free gift of life and goodness, rooted in God's enduring love for humanity. And it's a central theme throughout the Bible. The word grace is mentioned in the translation I looked at 125 times, and maybe more in other translations. In both the Old and New Testament, grace signifies God's favor toward the unworthy, emphasizing His willingness to forgive and bless abundantly despite our shortcomings. We all know when we stood there, standing in the water, with the minister laying his hands on us, feeling that forgiveness that we were looking toward as we became baptized. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. The grace is not from us. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest anyone should boast of their own works. I have grace because I earned it. Nope. Even Noah, when God said he regretted that he created man on the earth because the earth was filled with violence, and he said, I'm going to destroy everything that breathes. But Noah found grace in God's eyes. And God said to Noah, he said, gather up your sons and wives and families and build an ark and collect all the animals. And he said, I'm going to save you because you found grace in my eyes. Exodus 33. Moses was replying to God when they were being brought out of Egypt. How will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? So we will be separate, your people and I, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. So God said to Moses, okay, I will do this thing that you have spoken, because you have found grace in my sight. And I know you by name." God spoke with Moses, he spoke with Moses just as one speaks with his friend, right? As David said in Psalms 84, verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Our amazing grace, our God, is a sun and a shield. He is the light and the protector. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. David wrote that in Psalms 84:11. And Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3, verse 34, "Surely he scorns the scornful." God scorns those that are scornful. "But he gives grace." God gives grace to the humble. Even in Jeremiah, he was telling about the history of Israel in Jeremiah 31. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. "Israel, when I went to give him rest." Years later, when God looked to his right hand and said to his son, "I want you to go down and give your life so that we can save those that are willing to be humbled and look to us and yield to us." Luke 2, verse 40, "The child Jesus grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Jesus grew up with the grace of God upon him. That can be true for us, as well as those of our children. I know that was true when I came in to the truth of God's word at age 7. God's grace was upon us. John 1, verse 14, was telling what God did with his son. "The word became flesh and dwelt among us." The word, it says in John, right? The word was with God, and the word was God. "The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." We beheld his glory. We could read that in this book, the history book that tells us of the grace provided to all mankind, to us through God's word and God's promises. "The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." The glory. What glory did he have? The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, who calls us his brothers and sisters, his brethren, is full of grace and truth, and he wants us to be like him, to follow him, to listen to him, to let his spirit, that he said, "I go to my Father and I will send the Spirit, and he will live in you." God will live in us by his Spirit. For the law was given through Moses in John 1:17. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Right? Grace and truth came through our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can rely on the fact that our Savior is a Savior of grace and truth. The most amazing grace and truth that exists in the universe. Happy Sabbath, brethren.